Imagine a king crab living the good life. He's minding his own business, happily scavenging the bottom of the ocean for food with his fellow crabs, when all of a sudden he's attacked and infected. The infection eventually castrates him and takes over his body. Now he's dedicated to raising the offspring of his attacker. How does this happen? Leah Sloan is a PhD student at the University of Alaska School of Fisheries and Ocean Sciences. Her doctoral research project is zombie king crabs. Well, actually, she's studying the parasite that creates zombie king crabs. It's a barnacle, but it's nothing like the barnacle many of us have seen clinging to the bottom of boats. In its larval stage, Sloan says this barnacle goes in search of a crab, and when it finds a suitable host, it injects cells into the crab's bloodstream.
These cells divide, and they form this mass of branching strings. They look kind of like roots or fungal hyphae that just spread throughout the body of the crab and absorb nutrients. And this is the adult body of the parasite.
When it's ready to reproduce, the parasite creates an egg sac that develops in the same area that a female crab's eggs normally would go. But this parasite doesn't discriminate based on gender. In fact, it quickly makes both genders neutral.
So they can't reproduce, so instead they're making parasite larvae instead of making crab larvae. And the crabs become very good mothers for this parasite egg sac. So they will clean it, they will flap their abdomen up in the water column to help the eggs be released better.
And the male crabs even start to develop characteristics of a female crab.
So the parasite is really controlling their behavior. Their bodies are being taken over, and they're just being used as factories for the parasite to make parasite larvae.
That leads to another question. How are the crabs controlled by the parasite? Sloan suspects it's hormonal, but that's something she hopes will be revealed in the second part of her study.
I'm doing study with metabolites, which are small molecules, including hormones, and I'm studying these in both infected crabs and non-infected crabs to hopefully better understand what's going on, how the parasite is controlling its host, how its body is being changed.
Sloan says very few people have studied the Alaska king crab parasite. The last research was done back in the 1980s. The lack of attention is partly because the prevalence right now is low.
So less than 1% of crabs are infected in Southeast Alaska, and it's even like much, much smaller up in the Bering Sea.
So small, in fact, that it was a new topic for Sloan's advisor, UAF Professor of Marine Biology, Sarah Hardy.
She came into the program already with an interest in this topic, and it was actually something that I didn't even know about until she introduced me to it.
So, if it's not really a problem, why should we care? Well, first of all, it's fascinating, but it also could become a problem in the future. Sloan has learned that the parasite's larvae develop faster in warmer water, for example, and climate change is leading to warmer oceans. But on the flip side, reduced salinity creates more die-off among the parasite's larvae, so it's possible that melting glaciers and the resulting freshwater runoff could in turn reduce the population. This is all lab work, though, so it's hard to say what these findings mean in the wild.
Researching larvae in the wild is a huge problem. Yeah. So no one has really studied these parasitic barnacle larvae in the wild.
In addition to studying how the parasite controls crab behavior, Sloan says the second part of her study will look at the parasite beyond its larval stage, so hopefully more will be revealed soon. One thing that is known, though, is that if there is a sudden increase in the infestation, it can have a big impact.
In the early 1980s, up in around Glacier Bay, the blue king crab population, which was never that large there, but 86% of crabs were infected. So obviously that probably had a huge effect on the blue king crab population there, and now the blue king crab population in that area is really low.
Humans might inadvertently be increasing the population of the parasite by throwing back infected crabs. The male crabs that carry the parasite can easily be mistaken for females and don't grow as fast, so could be under the legal size to keep. Right now, Sloan says, the only state fishery that allows fishermen to keep infected crabs, even female or undersized, is the commercial golden king crab fishery in Southeast. For all the golden king crab customers out there, don't worry. The parasite won't turn people into incubating zombie moms. Plus, people generally don't eat the parts where the barnacle hangs out.
In general, the parasite stays in the more body cavity. It doesn't go out in the legs. So the crab meat is actually probably perfectly fine to eat.
Although Hardy says if you do open up that body cavity, you might not want to eat it.
It looks a little shocking when you see an infected crab. But yeah, when you just the legs look fine. But if you were to open the thing up, it wouldn't look like something that you wanted to eat.
You don't have to open up the body cavity to see whether a crab is infected, though. Sloan says just look under the abdominal flap, where the female normally would keep her eggs.
You pull it up, and there'll be this big kind of crescent-shaped egg sac, and it'll be kind of red or peach-colored, and that's that external or egg sac of the parasite. It looks very different than a crab's own egg.
If the crab already has released the parasite's larvae, then you'll instead see a scar that looks a little like a cigarette burn. Hardy says she's not the only one who hadn't heard of the parasitic barnacle before. Many state fishery managers also don't know much about it, at least not yet.
One thing that I see coming out of Leah's work is just raising awareness about this issue and trying to get managers to keep a better eye out and start to get some quantitative information about how abundant this thing really is.
And knowing more about it is the first step toward protecting Alaska's king crab population from turning into a bunch of zombies. Reporting in Ketchikan, I'm Layla Carey.